That was Stephen McCormick talking to Della Kilroy earlier on. Now, there's a bit of a conservation motif running through this morning's programmes. Have a listen to this. The sound of biodiversity conservation. The corncrake, whose Latin name is, wait for it, Crex Crex. We didn't hear any more of them there, but it is as close to the actual sound as you're going to hear. These guys, corncrake, have been making their way back to Ireland from Africa. And if you are lucky enough to live somewhere that the corncrake feels safe enough to call home, it is literally from today that you can expect to hear its call. John Carey from Corncrake Life Project wants to alert farmers in Sligo to keep an ear out for these birds, as their small population on the western fringes of Donegal and Mayo may be seeking territory in Sligo too. Good morning, John. Explain to me, please, the significance of 15th of April to Corncrake Watchers.
Modern Wife, Philip, and hello to all your listeners. So, yeah, the corncrakes are arriving back in Ireland this week. Last year we had our first record of birds on the 15th of April, so it's an important date for us. And this week, in fact, our team of field workers, Kieran, Neve, Andy and John, are busy confirming reports of the birds because some have already arrived back. So they're a little bit early again this year.
A little bit early. And they're here a good bit in advance of the 15th, though, but it's only at this point in time that they're feeling in the mood to give full voice.
Yeah, potentially, Philip. We've had anecdotal records of the birds for a couple of weeks now. So there's a potential that some of the birds arrive back even earlier than we expect, but they're after making a significant journey of about 6,500 kilometres from West Africa. So you can imagine when they arrive, they're pretty exhausted. So the male birds, it's the male bird that you've heard calling there. There is a possibility that if they arrive back a little bit early, they're just going to get themselves back into good breeding condition before they start forming their territories, and you hear that very evocative call.
And when they make the call, have they already found a mate and they're defending that territory, or are they actually seeking a mate?
It's a bit of both, really. So they make the call to kind of declare the territory and attract females to it. And then they make the call to alert other males that this is their patch and that they need to stay away from it.
And the thing about corncrakes is that you really do have to listen for them, because you're not likely to see them, are you?
No, these are extremely secretive birds, Philip. So they're quite a diminutive bird. People think they're large, like the size of a hen pheasant. They're actually about five times smaller than a hen pheasant. They're not much bigger than a blackbird, but they're extremely cryptic. So they like to stay in cover. So seeing a corncrake is highly unlikely unless you live, you're lucky enough to live in one of the really core areas for the birds in North and West Donegal, the Mullet Peninsula in Mayo, or some of the Connemara Islands like Inishbofin, then you might see a corncrake. But by and large, it's that call that we ask people to listen out for and to report it to us through our website.
Okay, because people will be mistakenly otherwise reporting presumably things like hen pheasants or even missel thrushes to you in the belief that they've seen a corncrake.
Absolutely. We get so many reports from the public every year, which is wonderful to get because it shows that there's a huge interest in this bird and trying to conserve it. But yeah, we get lots of photographs of hen pheasants and red-legged partridges and other birds like that. So we ask people, please listen out for that call because it's so unique.
Now, you are obviously particularly interested in, you are interested in everybody from all 32 counties in reporting to you, but you're particularly interested in Sligo. Why is that?
Well, what we've noticed in the last couple of years is that the corncrake population since 2018 nationally, it has increased by about 30%. And that's through a massive amount of work by the National Parks and Wildlife Service and our own project as well, but also by local farmers. So because the population of the birds is beginning to increase slightly, their range is beginning to expand. So the corncrake's range in Ireland is very coastal. It's entirely coastal. So there's kind of a gap there in its distribution. And we've seen birds begin to appear now in West Sligo and sometimes in North Sligo along the coast. So what often happens, though, is people hear the corncrake and they think, Well, that's unusual, but they don't know where to report it to. So we're asking people or appealing to people that if you hear that sound, to please give us a shout so that we can try and put some sort of measures in place to protect them.
Listening to you, some people might be getting the impression, corncrake seems to be doing very well and quite healthily. But how many actual males were heard last year?
Yeah, brace yourself for this, Philip. We counted 197 calling males last year.
Is that all?
That's it. I mean, this was a bird that was once incredibly widespread across the landscape in Ireland. If you talk to people who would have been growing up in the 50s and 60s, they remember the corncrakes as, you know, in their back gardens. Mm. So these birds they're extremely rare, extremely threatened as well. So a 30% increase sounds like a lot, but we're working off a very low base. They almost went extinct, to be quite honest with you. It's a miracle we have any left at all.
Now, obviously, we know that you encourage farmers to mow or cut their silage from the centre of the field out, giving the corncrakes a chance to move on. And you also encourage farmers to leave the grass for that little bit longer. When you do leave the grass for that little bit longer, you're not making great silage. What compensation is available to farmers if this is what they have to do?
Yeah, so there's different there's different grants available to farmers to delay their mowing for longer periods of time. Generally, where we find the birds on the west coast, farmers are delaying their mowing anyhow because the growing season is slower. So what our project is doing is, rather than being reactive and waiting for corncrakes to show up and then enter into negotiations with farmers effectively, we sit down now with the farmers at the beginning of the year and we develop a plan with them on their farm, targeting the areas that we think the birds are likely to go. And then the farmers know well ahead of time that they're going to delay the mowing of their meadows until early mm-hmm. August or even early September in some cases. So the farmer, there's no surprises. They know exactly what they're doing. They can plan around it and they know by and large what their rate of payments are. However, we've shifted things now towards a results-based model where farmers are paid based on the quality of the corncrake habitat they produce, not just the dates that they delay their mowing for.
And for those who have entered the scheme, are they happy with it? Does the accountancy of it work out?
I think so, yeah. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Last year, we had 49 farmers in our pilot project. This year, we've got over 120. And we've a lot more people seeking to come in, which is great news for us. And it's great news for the corncrake, but I think the key thing is we're also seeing farmers increasingly recognise that there's a good economic model in it for them as well to manage their land for the environment, and that they can bridge that economic gap by getting good payments for having these good habitats.
John Kerry, thank you very much. And more on that, if you are interested, at corncrakelife.ie. Corncrakelife.ie. Well,